I'm not used to people walking out when I'm about to speak. It's a new experience for me. Well, I hope you've all enjoyed your time today. When I was thinking about this, I got this, here we are again, because we've been doing this marathon thing for longer than I care to remember. I don't know how many years it is that we've actually done this. It's the third time we've done it with evangelists coming to join us. And that made me think of an old song, showing my age, I'm afraid. Here we are again, happy as can be. All good pals and jolly good company. Do anyone know that song? It was written in 1931. And it was recorded in 1967 by Al McCogan. Now, if you remember Al McCogan, then you are old. It was a musical song. And I remember it from when I was a kid, because we always used to listen to the radio when I was a kid. We didn't have televisions in those days. I'm that old. And at Sunday lunchtime, and at 1 o'clock on Sunday lunchtime, on the BBC Light programme, there was the Billy Cotton Band Show. And he always used to start off, he was a Cockney, and he used to start off his every show with the same thing. Wakey, wakey! And they used to sing these sort of songs, and I always remember that song coming on. And then after that, you used to get Kenneth Horne around the hall, and the Navy Lark, and all these old sort of really funny programmes, much more funny than most of the modern so-called comedy. So, as I said, I've lost track of how many years we've been doing this. The estimates for the runners today run between 59,000 and 62,500. Depends which website you believe. They end up, of course, they run 26.2 miles. They start at Blackheath and they end up in front of Buckingham Palace. And you can imagine these guys have been probably, well, most of them, probably training through the year, getting ready for this. Although some of the guys I saw at the beginning, I mean, they weren't a mile in and they looked as if they were half dead by then, you know. And I thought, they're never going to make it to the end, you know. So this race is a great spectacle, and it's all sorts of people taking part. Now, let me just show you some pictures from last year.
I can make this work.
There we go. That was the elite women from last year. And that was the elite men from last year. The wheelchair race from last year. I'm amazed at those guys. That must be, you know, must be a tremendously demanding thing for guys that have got some sort of disability and they're doing that. It's incredible. That was the main event last year. And then you would get all these weird and wonderful costumes. And in fact, that bone one, I've seen that twice again this year. I thought they were quite funny. And those two, I thought the chicken was really good. And so that's the sort of stuff you get coming through with all, you know, these people who, I don't know why they do it. It must be much more difficult to run. Dinosaur. I didn't see that.
Did you see the
Oh, really? Amazing. Absolutely amazing. I've sort of done this talk several times, and I always come back to the same verse, because there's one verse that I think that really sort of picks up on where we are today. And it's that verse from Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 2. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race that is marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And in that verse, there are sort of five things that it seems to be saying that the competitors need. So you've got the fans cheering them on. That was the great cloud of witnesses, of course, because chapter 12 comes after chapter 11 in Hebrews. And in chapter 11, he goes through all the great sort of saints of faith in the Old Testament. And then freedom from entanglement. We need to get free. You need to get free from sin. That's been mentioned several times in the sharing that's gone on. Perseverance, you've got to keep going to the end. Follow the way that's been marked out. These runners had to follow the way that had been set up for them. If they'd gone off somewhere else, if you don't follow the way, you'll end up somewhere where you shouldn't, wouldn't you? And then finally, of course, fixing your eyes on the finish. And that really, you know, that Bible verse sums up what we need for our journey, the Christian journey through life. You know, the cheering of the cloud of witnesses, the faith-filled saints of the Old Testament, the freedom from sin, entanglement. That involves getting sin dealt with. That's part of our gospel message, isn't it? That's where we start in one sense. Perseverance, the keeping going through following the way that's been set out for us. And of course, our way is set out for us in Scripture. And the fixing of our eyes on the finish, fixing of our eyes on Jesus, our Saviour and Lord. So that's the message that I'm sure you've been sharing today when you got the opportunity. Let's be honest, it's not a message that is welcomed by a lot of people today. It's certainly not the message that's portrayed in the media. It's not the message that a lot of politicians want to hear. They want to have all sorts of odd things and mix all the faiths up together. It always interests me to, when you talk about faith or even God, people will talk about faith, they'll talk about God. They don't like talking about Jesus. That's more of a demand. And so this attitude often is not really, you know, it's not really too much about what you believe, because in some altruistic, non-judgmental, romantic, politically correct way, as long as you're sincere with your beliefs, you're okay. People will often say to you, well, I know what I believe, and as long as I believe what I believe, well, I'm going to be okay. Like the guy who didn't realise that he needed Jesus to get to heaven. He thought he could get there by being good. So that's what we're up against in society. And that's why the gospel message is just so important that we get it out. And of course, all roads lead to God. Now, you may be surprised, and I actually believe that. All roads do lead to God. But where are you going to be on that road when you get there? Because if you don't go through Jesus, you're going to end up being judged by God. And everybody is going to go there. Nobody is missed out of that. So it's true. All roads lead to God. But if you don't know Jesus, and if you haven't put your faith in Jesus, then you're going to be judged by God. And that's an awesome thing. And the important thing is what our relationship with God will be when we get to the end of that road. Let's see what Scripture says. I'll just pop up a few verses just to remind you. I'm sure you'll know these verses. Look to me and be saved. I am God, there is no other. And then a bit further on in that verse, it says, to me every knee shall bow. And I'm sure you know Spurgeon's story, Charles Spurgeon. That's the verse that he heard when he was a 15-year-old boy in Essex, in a little church. That's the verse that actually he got converted on, having heard that verse. And the story goes that the preacher, who was just a working man, he wasn't a minister, looked at him and said, young man, sort of pointed at him, young man, Where are you going? What are you doing? You need to hear this verse. And it's an amazing story. And then, of course, you can't miss out on John 14:6, can you? I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. That's our way. The only way. And that, again, is a big bone of contention for people. When you tell them that the only way is through Jesus, and there is no other way. But Acts 4:12 underlines that. Nor is there salvation in any other. There's no other way. For there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. And then, of course, later on in Acts, you get Paul and Silas in with the Philippian jailer, who says, "What must I do to be saved?" And the answer is, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved." And so the Bible's consistent, Old Testament, New Testament, right the way through. That's the message that we have. In contrast to all the non-Christian religions that believe that, you know, you can get eternal life through noble works, through believing in their sacred writings, whatever they happen to be, or reaching some heightened state of consciousness, or by submitting to the rules. These religions, of course, are all deceptions, and they're all deceptions of Satan. And that's what we have to realize, that we're up against the battle. We need to know the way that leads to eternal life, and we need to be able to share that. And so when the Christian stands before that great throne of God, he will have Jesus as his advocate in that judgment day. So that's sort of a summing up, really, of where we're at today. And I'm sure where you've been. Just like the runners that we've seen, we must have our eyes firmly fixed on the finish. The finish of the race, Jesus. And we must persevere until we reach it. And that's what we have to share with unbelievers. That's why some of you have been calling, have the calling of an evangelist. It's a responsibility that all of us have to share the message. And it's what our starting verse says. Let's fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who by the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And there's one last verse. Two last verses. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist who denies the Father and the Son. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an Antichrist. So that's the road. We're on the road. That's our way. It's the only way. It's the way ahead. Our route is planned out for us, and we need to know where we're going. Amen.